Welcome to Beyond the Pod, presented by SodaStick.com.
Brunette, he moves, Brunette Beckett, he scores! Minnesota has upset the Colorado Avalanche! Andrew Brunette, the game-winning goal!
Here are your hosts, the second greatest scorer in Gopher hockey history, Pat Micheletti, and the second greatest hockey analyst on this podcast, Brandon Molesky.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Beyond the Pod, brought to you from SodaStick.com. As always, I'm Brandon Molesky. Pat Micheletti, the great Golden Gopher, joins me as always. Hello, Patrick.
Good morning, Brandon. Good to see you.
We're about to have the regular season end. Playoffs about to begin. We know our opponents is the St. Louis Blues. So we figured out what they're saying from the other side in this series. We know plenty about the Minnesota Wild. Let's learn more about the St. Louis Blues. And we're pleased to be joined by Andy Strickland, who covers the Blues for Bally Sports Midwest and 590 The Fan KFNS. Andy, thank you so much for your time. Nice to meet you, Richard. Really appreciate it. Before we kind of fully break down the Blues, I would like to get your opinion, or even, I guess, your market's opinion on the Minnesota Wild. From, you know, we have our own views, but we see them 82 times a year. How does the St. Louis market view the Minnesota Wild as an opponent?
Hold on. First off, can I ask a question real quick?
Sure.
Who's the all-time leading scorer in Minnesota Gopher history?
That would be John Mayasich.
Okay. What's the gap between you and him, Pat? how far are we talking now?
You know what? It's about 30 points. Okay. And
I bet Pat has way more penalty minutes though.
I do. that being said, I always, you know, I have so much respect for John Mayasich. He is the godfather, in my opinion, of Minnesota hockey, that even if I got there, unless it was a NCAA championship game and I needed 1 point and the team needed to win, I would have not wanted to break his record.
Wow.
Because his respect is,
I don't believe
for
that.
Me,
is, I don't
it,
believe that.
It is true, honestly, no doubt.
Well, the best part is, Pat, is your second all-time in Gopher hockey history, but no one's ever going to catch you guys again because, one,
not in this day and age.
The game has changed into – like players leave early. They're not going to stay for 4 years.
Yeah, the game, Andy, you know, has changed so much, you know, over the decades. And
Andy, the Blues mark, the St. Louis market, how do you guys view the Minnesota Wild?
Well, I would say the fans think the Blues just have their number, right? And the Blues are going to be able to handle Minnesota because you look at the head-to-head matchups over the course of the last few years. You know, Minnesota, I think in the eyes of – the Blues fan does not present the same type of threat that, say, Colorado would, right? I mean, Colorado gets so much attention. You know, you watch them play. I mean, they just pop, right, in terms of how they play, the speed they play with, the individual star power that they have. But I think people who truly know and, you know, follow the NHL closely realize just how good the Minnesota Wild are. You know, I know Billy Guerin very well, have a ton of respect for him. I'm not surprised whatsoever that he's been able to get a team to accomplish as much as they have in a relatively short period of time. You guys have a legit superstar in Kaprizov. You obviously have a proven Stanley Cup winner now in between the pipes and Marc-Andre Fleury, assuming that he's going to be the guy. And, you know, listen, you got some other complimentary pieces. So, and you've had a great year. I think people look at Minnesota as a team that is tough, that is built from a physical standpoint. You guys have size. And you can play a number of different ways. You know, Fiala is a very underrated player. He reminds me of a number of Blues players, you know, who maybe don't get nearly as much recognition as they deserve, but he's a hell of a hockey player who is really, really good in the National Hockey League. I think on the back end, I don't know if people truly give, you know, Minnesota as much credit maybe as they should. You guys can tell me if they should, you know, maybe hype them up a little bit more on the back end in terms of just how good they are defensively. But I think people realize this is going to be a hard series for St. Louis and a very good series. And I don't think anybody would be shocked to see it go to the distance.
Yeah, I agree. I think this one, you know, look at where they are points wise, right? I mean, they're dead even. Someone's going to finish second. Someone's going to finish third. We'll know tonight. But that being said, you know, when I look at, and a lot of people want to look at the past records of what's happened lately, but let's not forget, the Blues D is not the same D that it was when it won the cup, right? Binnington was out of his mind that year and was really, you know, the catalyst for them winning the cup. Mm-hmm. Minnesota doesn't have Parisi, Suter, Dubnyk, guys like that. So for me, when I look at it, I only look at it from what they are now and not what they were, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago.
Yeah. And well, 100%. I mean, Minnesota's different even since the trade deadline, right?
Yeah.
Just the addition of the goaltender who I mentioned, obviously Jacob Middleton, who I think is a hell of a hockey player.
Wow.
You guys probably didn't even realize just how good this guy
was.
We
didn't know.
San Jose probably didn't realize how good he was. Otherwise, maybe they weren't so quick to get rid of him. And it's hard to believe that he was the last pick in the draft, you know, the year that he was drafted. I think all the way back in like 2014, 2016, something like that. I enjoy watching him play. Plus, he's tough. He's mean. He uses his body well. I like Middleton a lot. And Delorier, you know, gives your team, you know, a little bit of presence. You know, he doesn't play a lot. You know, I don't know how much impact he's going to have in a playoff series, but just his presence alone should give some type of impact. You know, I watched the game pretty closely last night that you guys played against Calgary. I was hoping Johnny Gaudreau would have been able to bury that at the end of regulation.
That
would have put the Blues in a great position heading into tonight. I have no idea how he missed that.
It was an unbelievable pass.
Of all people, from
Lindholm. I mean, and he tries to one-touch it, and it just explodes off his blade. I have no idea how that happened. But, you know, if Greenway can truly lock in and be the player that they need him to be, game in and game out over the course of a long playoff series, you know, that could potentially frustrate St. Louis. You know, St. Louis has and they will rely on this. I mean, I think this is human nature, right? They've got a core group of players who have won before.
Yep.
And I think that gives you a little bit of a inside, maybe mental edge heading into a series that they, they can be unflappable. They're not going to panic. They're very comfortable starting on the road. You know, it's interesting. The Blues have yet to play a game inside, you know, XL Energy Center this season.
Right.
You know, I mean, the only road game they played, the head-to-head matchup against Minnesota, was the Winter Classic game where the Minnesota Twins play. So, but St. Louis is very comfortable on the road. I feel like it means more to Minnesota than it does to St. Louis to start at home. I could be wrong about that.
Probably right.
I think that would probably give, you know, the Wild a little bit of additional energy and you know, maybe, you know, allow them to kind of feel like they can get up in the series and utilize that, the energy that they, and the excitement they get from their home fans. But, you know, St. Louis obviously brings so much depth offensively. I mean, they have the you know, potential tonight, if Ryan O'Reilly can score a goal, to be their ninth player with 20 or more goals.
Wow.
Which I think is the most from a team in the NHL since like 92, 93. You got to go back to like the Washington Capitals or something. So this team can score. They hang on to the puck. They may not have the eye-popping elite superstar, but they've got guys that are certainly on the edge. And if you watch them close enough, I mean, they play like superstars when you look at Robert Thomas and Tarasenko and Buchnevich and some of these guys.
I was going to ask you about Tarasenko. He's playing like a superstar this year. The last two seasons, you know, was barely in the lineup, had all the injury stuff going on. There were rumors of, you know, maybe they're going to lose him in the expansion draft. There were rumors of trading him and not being able to get the contract together. And all of a sudden now he's put together a career year where it's the most points he's ever had in a single season.
Yeah.
Talk about just kind of the last two, three seasons of Vladimir Tarasenko. And are you surprised with how it's turned out this year for him?
Well, I'm surprised that he's had the best year that he's ever had in his NHL career.
Right.
And not just about the points and the fact that he has, you know, reached a career high. He's playing hard. And he's playing in his own end. And he's got a good attitude. And he's his body language has been way better than maybe, you know, it has in the past. Not to say that he's had bad body language, but, you know, he's always been a guy that when he's frustrated, you know when he's frustrated. So there's two things that I think have contributed to his bounce back season. You know, number one is obvious. It's the health. I mean, this guy hasn't been healthy the last couple of years. I mean, you have three consecutive surgeries on your shoulder. I mean, let alone the physical toll that's going to play and the impact that's going to have on your play, but the mental impact as well. You know, you're going to be a little bit tentative. You know, I mean, he's a guy who, you know, has to play hard. He plays through contact. You know, he needs to be able to be a true power forward, get to the net, score goals in front of the net and stay there, you know, drive, you know, dip the shoulder and use his strength that he has. I mean, this guy has incredible strength for a guy who's not very tall. People don't think about how strong he is. You can't knock this guy off the puck.
Right.
And he's always been, you know, obviously, you know, a great shooter, but now he's scoring goals in a number of different ways. And he's got incredible, and I mean unbelievable chemistry, guys, with Robert Thomas and Pavel Buchnevich. And I think health obviously has been the biggest impact, but also the addition of Buchnevich. People have no idea how good this guy is either. He's a 30-goal scorer, having a career season. The impact he's had on Tarasenko, just in terms of taking a lot of pressure off of Tarasenko. Obviously, they're both Russian. They didn't know each other before Buchnevich got here, but they become very close friends in a very short period of time. No surprise there. But I think Buchnevich will take some of that heat off of Tarasenko when they go back to the bench. You know, Vladdy, you don't have to address it with the coaches, whatever. You don't have to get – I'll take some of that pressure off of you. I'll handle it, you know. And I think Buchnevich, his natural way of playing in terms of he's got that natural 200-foot game, I think he's brought a lot of that out of Vladimir Tarasenko. And he's really improved his overall game, you guys. And Robert Thomas is an elite true passer. Ooh. In an era of a time in the NHL where we don't have too many pure passers that are left in the NHL, right? You had Joe Thornton, obviously, who's been around for a long time, Backstrom and some of these guys. But in terms of pure passers, guys who are pure distributors who look to, you know, pass first before they look to shoot. Now he's been shooting a little bit more as of late, and he's reached 20 goals, something that he needs to do. Man, these guys are so good together. They use the width of the ice. I'm talking board to board as well as any line in the NHL. And from a production standpoint, they're right up there with the top line in Calgary, right up there with the top line in Toronto as well. All these guys produce. They have the puck, it seems like, the entire time they're on the ice.
Hey, Andy, you know, when it gets to the playoffs, it's so hard to score, right? And the top players, you know, just don't go out there and you know, get two or three every night. So we look for under the radar guys. You know, if you're looking at Minnesota, we might say a guy like Freddie Goudreau, right? Plays with Boldy, Fiala, you know, does everything well, you know, just one of those guys.
Yeah.
When I look at the Blues, and correct me if I'm wrong, a guy like Jordan Kyrou, right? I mean, to me, you know, talk about him a little bit and what he brings to the Blues.
Well, he brings pure elite skating ability. We saw that in the All-Star game, right? He won the fastest skater competition. But it's his first three steps. It's that explosiveness where he gets that separation against NHL defensemen. I mean, you see him go toe-to-toe with defensemen who can really skate, and he just blows right past him. He had three assists in his last game, and it feels like he's starting to get that confidence back. You know, he's been playing on the third line right now with Braden Schenn and Ivan Barbashev. I mean, you look at guys who could really show up in a playoff series.
Right.
That's your third line, right? I mean, Schenn, Barbashev, Kyrou. I mean, Brandon Saad, who has come here this year, and, you know, he's got like 25 goals, something like that on the season. You know, they've got Perron, O'Reilly. I mean, all these different guys that could certainly step up outside of the Tarasenko and Buchneviches of the world. But, you know, Kyrou has got to be a guy that he's got to be able to compete for space on the ice. I mean, things are going to be tight in the playoffs. We all know that. And you're not going to have the freedom that maybe you do typically in the month of November, where you can kind of freewheel it a little bit. And he's going to have to play under the guidelines of the head coach. And that's the bottom line for Jordan Kyrou, which means tracking back hard, being committed to playing inside your own end just as much as you are in the offensive end, knowing that you can have an impact on the game and truly help the team win, even in a game where you don't find your name on the score sheet. It's not always about scoring in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And I think he's going to learn that. You know, he was hurt the year that they won the Cup, not to say that he would have been in the lineup anyway, who knows. But we all know that they use a number of players throughout the course of a playoff, especially if you go the distance. Guys are going to get hurt. They're coming in and out of the lineup. But he was around a little bit, but he did miss out on some of that. So this is truly his first real playoff experience, unless you want to count, you know, last season. But again, with no fans in the stands and everything, it just wasn't the same, you know. I mean, even the year before with the bubble. This is a true, in my opinion, the first real playoff we've seen since 2019. Nothing against Tampa Bay. They probably would have won it anyway. They're a hell of a team. But when you get fans in the building, home and the road, the travel, all that type of stuff, it just presents a completely different animal. But Jordan Kyrou has elite scoring ability. He was that guy in junior. He can be a game changer, a true game breaker. And when he's confident, which, you know, looks like he's getting some of that back and some of that mojo that he had earlier in the season, some of that bounce in his step, the Blues need him to produce. He can't just be a guy out there that is just in the lineup and just, you know, playing. He's got to produce, and he's got to help this team win.
All right, Andy, let's talk about the all-important position of goaltending. You know, Pat and I have you know, been talking about this series for quite some time because it's been obvious for a while they're going to face the Blues. So we've been previewing this series, and I think the hope for us is, you know, you kind of hope the Wild have the goaltending edge here, right? Mm-hmm. And clearly, Husso has had phenomenal stats this year, but still only played 56 career games. You don't know how he's going to react once you get into a playoff-type setting. So my question for you, what is your guy? What's your confidence level in Husso in a playoff series, and specifically, you know, can he carry the load for an entire series?
Is he going to be the guy in game one?
Yeah, he'll be the guy in game one. But like you said, like you don't know until you find out, right?
Right.
And let me tell you this about Billy Husso, though. Like he's among the most unflappable individuals you're ever going to meet. I mean, his personality, his energy never changes. He's super, super quiet. The most non-threatening teammate you're ever going to find. You know what I mean? Like, he and Jordan Binnington get along great. Like, he's not coming in, you know, peacocking a little bit and being like, hey, I just took your job. You know, I'm not giving it back. He's just a really, really nice kid who knows he can play. He's been on this path for a long time, guys. I mean, the Blues, people don't realize, like, he was the number one undisputed goaltending prospect in the organization, even when Binnington was down in the minors.
Right, right.
Binnington was his backup, okay? Chad Johnson gets claimed on waivers from Anaheim, and Billy Husso is hurt with a high ankle sprain. And so Jordan Binnington got the call up, but not Billy Husso. And Binnington goes on to win the Stanley Cup. He's got the 6-year contract in his back pocket. He's making $6 million a year. But I'll never forget when Billy Husso was drafted, his first year, first preseason with the Blues, he didn't allow a goal in, I think, 4 or 5 appearances. Now, you know, in the preseason, you don't always play the full 60 minutes, but he played some games late in that preseason against NHL rosters. And I can't tell you how excited this organization was about Billy Husso. Like, he was the guy. And even when he was 19, 20, playing in the top league in Finland, you know, in the best league in Finland, at 19, winning all the major individual awards, leading all the league in all the individual categories, like top goaltender, world junior, gold medal, you know, 2-time world junior, you know, goaltender for Finland, played in back-to-back years. They you know, won the gold medal 1 year. He wasn't the starter of the entire tournament that year, but he was still on the team, and then he came back and played the next year. All-rookie performer in the American Hockey League. Like, this guy is not just playing well. Like, he is really good. And so sometimes you don't realize it until he gets an opportunity. He's not 21, 22. This guy's like 26 years old. Like, he's a man. He is a professional and a true elite goaltender. I think people always believe that he could be that guy, and now he's getting the opportunity to show that he is that guy. And I'm telling you, when I say this, people inside the organization, they are not surprised to see him have the season that he has right now. They knew he was capable of doing this, and obviously they're going to have an interesting decision to make in the offseason. But we'll see how he does in the playoffs. But if he performs well, I will not be surprised whatsoever.
Okay, Andy, every team has warts. Okay. For Minnesota to beat the Blues, what do they have to expose?
Well, their defense, you know,
yeah.
They've got to expose their defense. They got to, you know, get the body on their defense and play them hard and play them physical and see how they react to it. Listen, the playoff series, in my opinion, that's what it comes down to. It's the grind. It's the wear and tear. It's how do you respond? Yeah. Do you get back up? Are you willing to get back into the fight? Mm-hmm. Because the Blues are going to score goals.
Yeah.
But they're not a team that just runs and guns it and looks to win 6-4. Okay. They're going to try to win 2-1.
They methodically beat you.
Yeah. Oh, they try to win 2-1, but they're so good offensively, they score 4 or 5, if that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
especially if Minnesota's not disciplined, they'll have no chance, in my opinion. You put the Blues on the power play, they will make you pay. It's not just one unit, it's two. They've got two number one units, like elite number one units. They both score all the time. When you've got O'Reilly, Perron, and Shen, these guys on the second unit with Krug, that's an elite power play unit. That's your number two unit right now behind Buchnevich and Tarasenko and Thomas and these guys, you know, with Falk, who now with Krug being out.
I want to talk about Falk.
We'll get into that here in just a second. And then like the addition of Nick Leddy, which is now I think allowed, you know, the coaching staff to slide Krug down, be a third pair guy, and truly round out your top four, which is something they wanted to do at the trade deadline. Like, he wasn't the biggest name, right? Everyone's focusing on Ben Chiarot and Mark Giordano. And listen, Doug Armstrong had no interest in any of those guys. I mean, you look at their cap hit, number one, but also they weren't guys that he looked at. They said, hey, could be a good fit here in St. Louis in terms of what we need. They needed a guy like Letty who has experience. This guy's played 121 career playoff games.
Yeah.
And he's 30. I mean, that's a crazy, crazy number. So he's won a cup. He's been deep in the playoffs. You talk about a guy who you guys, I'm sure, are familiar with from his days in Minnesota. a guy who just doesn't really change whatsoever. I mean, his mentality, his body language, and great obviously a pure skater who can defend. He's an upgrade defensively over Torrey Krug, and Krug's a hell of a player too. So, but if you're talking about Minnesota exposing St. Louis, you know, it's going to have to come down to, you know, can the Blues respond to their physicality, in my opinion.
Go ahead and ask about Falk, Pat.
Well, yeah, I think Justin Falk has been, you know, when he came over from Carolina, you know, I don't think his career with the Blues started out the way he wanted to, and for whatever reason, but he's been fantastic for you.
Oh, he's been great. I mean, last season, too, he was really good as well. I think he's got 16 goals now on the season. That's one off his career high. He's been red hot as of late. He's a plus 40-something. You know, he's probably, if you were to pick an MVP of the team, I mean, you could certainly make, he'd be right there. Mm-hmm. And I may even say that he is the MVP. Someone asked me that a few weeks ago, and I said Justin Falk. Because, again, you know what you're going to get from him every single night. His first year here was difficult because Alex Pietrangelo was still here. And he was in the final year of his deal, and it was the elephant in the room. Are they bringing in Falk to replace Alex Pietrangelo? And now Pietrangelo's going to be here tonight, by the way. Vegas is in town, and they're not making the playoffs, which is interesting how that plays out. Hey, the grass isn't always greener, as we know.
Right.
But I'm a big fan of Justin Falk just in terms of how he carries himself. Another Minnesota boy, obviously, who's just a really good hockey player. Like, he plays heavier than people realize. And you talk about the heaviness of Minnesota, like a guy like him can handle it. A guy like Parayko can handle it. I think Letty can handle the physicality. Bortuzzo obviously can. You know, it's and offensively, the Blues, they may not have the bone-crushing guys. I mean, Shen is a physical player. Barbashev is a physical player. Maybe they're built a little bit differently than they were in 19, but they've got guys up and down their lineup where the physicality is not going to affect them. They can all play through it, whether it's Perron, Saad, O'Reilly, Tarasenko. These guys are all big, strong guys, Thomas. But Justin Falk has been better than advertised in his first year here, guys, real quick, because not only you had the elephant in the room with Pietrangelo, which mentally probably was tough for him to deal with. They had him playing the left side, his offside, you know, throughout the course of the season. He would go back and forth. But, you know, right when he got here, first game, they had the banner raising ceremony for the Stanley Cup. He's sitting by himself in the dressing room. Then they go on the first road trip. They go to the Hall of Fame to present the ring. He goes fishing by himself for the day. Then they go to Washington, D.C. for the White House visit. And this guy just walks around by himself all day long in Washington, D.C. So I don't think he felt that connection to the team right away because they were celebrating the Stanley Cup. So I think that was a little bit difficult for him as well. Took him a full year. Say the same thing about Torrey Krug. You know, last year he wasn't nearly as good as he's been this year.
Since we're talking Minnesota, guys, I got to talk about a hometown friend of mine, Scotty Perunovic. You know, unfortunately out right now, probably out for the year, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel bad for the kid, but what did he bring to the Blues in his brief time that he was, but you know, that when he was healthy?
Well, he's got that skating ability, that shake and bake ability. Yeah. Obviously he's good with the puck on his stick. This guy was tearing up the American Hockey League. He's kind of like a tweener right now, right? He's too good for the American League.
Right.
And I don't know if his game is good enough right now to be the number one power play quarterback ahead of a guy like Krug, who obviously, you know, has, you know, whatever, 600-700 games under his belt, whatever it is. And he's a really good player. You get Falk here. And the reality is with Krug here, they both kind of play the same type of position. The Blues needed to add some size and, you know, you can't have that many. So in today's game, we all know that, right? On the back end.
Right.
You can get away with having one of those guys. You know, having two in your top six is tough.
We know that here.
Yeah, right? We have that in Minnesota.
You know how that is. So, and just like the Blues are going to have to handle the physicality from Minnesota. Hey, the same thing goes for Minnesota. I mean, listen, these guys are going to be coming hard. I mean, Craig Berube gets these guys ready to play. Okay. he gets in their face. Steve Ott, Jim Montcalm, these guys get them ready to go. You know, Mike Van Ryan, who runs the D, they got a really good coaching staff with some legit experience. I mean, all these guys have long careers in the National Hockey League, right? They understand, and they got credibility, and they find a way to get the most out of their players, and they get their attention very quickly. So as much as I talk about the physicality from Minnesota, St. Louis will still be able to bring that element in their game. But Perunovic, listen, I'm excited to see how he comes back next year and what his future holds here in St. Louis. You know, is he a guy that they project to be here long-term, or is he going to be a guy that maybe has to go elsewhere to truly get that opportunity? We'll have to wait and find out. But there's no question, dynamic offensive skill. We saw that in the preseason. He was fantastic in the preseason. And like I said, he was probably the best player in the league down in the American Hockey League in the 20 games he played down there, not just in Springfield, but the best player in the entire AHL. Yeah.
All right. Final question for you, Andy. We've already kept you longer than I said we were going to keep you.
Yeah.
I know as of the time we are taping this, we don't know who has home ice advantage, but it doesn't seem like that matters to you guys in St. Louis. Official series prediction. It sounds like you're pretty confident in the St. Louis Blues.
I really am. You know, I mean, you look at the head-to-head matchups. I mean, obviously Minnesota had to play two games here in St. Louis down the stretch. Both games went into overtime. You know, I think St. Louis was up 4-1 in the third period against Minnesota in the last game.
Until they gifted Minnesota back in the game.
Yeah. Minnesota came back. And I'm not just saying this because I work on the TV side with the Blues. I really believe the Blues are the better team. I think Minnesota's been a great story. They've had a great season. But I don't expect this to go seven. And I believe the Blues will win this game, and we'll save a six. If it was a different, if it wasn't you guys, I would say five.
No. I'm not afraid to tell you, Andy. I'm not afraid to tell you. I predicted the Wild in five.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Golly,
Andy, just wait until we post this on social media, and then the Wild fans can all attack you. So,
they can, and the Blues
fans are going to come after me. That's all right.
That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. But listen, here's how it works. When you are a local analyst, if you don't think your team is going to win, then you say they'll win in seven.
Right.
Yeah. If you never come out and say our team's going to lose in four or five.
No. Right. No. But if you truly believe they're going to win, then you can throw out five or six. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, it's going to be a phenomenal series. And the sad thing is, you have two of the best teams in the league, top five, six, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, we can argue either way. And it's unfortunate that they have to play each other, and the LA Kings and Edmonton play each other. You know,
Hey, Pat and Brandon, listen. Yeah, no one ever says that. Oh, it's too bad that St. Louis or Minnesota are going to lose in the first round. It's only, oh my God, can you believe that Toronto is going to have to play Tampa and they may lose in the, it's always like about Toronto. Like they got the toughest matchup and whatever. But no, I'm with you there. It is hey, listen, St. Louis, there is a stretch, you know, where they lost in the first round 3 years in a row before they finally got over the hump, playing against Chicago.
Right.
And they played against Minnesota, against Minnesota one of those years where they were the favorite and they lost in six to Minnesota. But they kept, you know, they would go two up on Chicago and then they would lose the series. They finally broke through in 2016 and got to the conference final and beat Chicago in seven games. So that was a huge lift for the Blues as an organization. But I do. And I don't know if you guys think these head-to-head matchups matter. I mean, Minnesota's a little bit different. It could be a little scary for Blues fans as well, because you could say, hey, Minnesota is due. They're finally due to beat St. Louis because they haven't done well against them in head-to-head matchups the last couple of years. But I think they're the better team, so I'm going to go with that answer.
I like your conviction, Andy. Andy, it was an absolute blast to have you on. We'd love to do it again with you sometime.
Let's do it again.
We will for sure, guys. Have fun during the series. It's going to be a lot of fun, and look forward to seeing you guys.
All right, say hi to Monty, and say hi to Perunovic.
We'll be chirping you on Twitter.
I expect nothing less.
If you see Perunovic at the rink, tell him we have a Bimbo's Pizza on the series.
Bimbo's Pizza.
Yeah, he'll know. Bimbo's Pizza. Right at the lake. He'll know.
Is Bimbo's Pizza, and is that any good or no?
He has never had it.
No, it's somewhere up north on the Iron Range. I'm a city's boy.
Yeah.
Send me some of that, Pat.
Oh, you'll love it. Yep. You'll love it.
All right. Thank you, Andy. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right. Yep. Andy Strickland, who covers the St. Louis Blues for Bally Sports Midwest and 590 The Fan KFNS. Before we talk with Pat McGlady, let's talk about sodastick.com. Get your original Minnesota sports-inspired goods at sodastick.com. If you haven't seen the stuff yet, you got to check it out. All of their apparel screen-printed here in Minnesota on super soft, super comfy shirts. You're going to love it, and we're going to hook you up with 15% off your next order. Just use the code KFAN for 15% off. That's sodastick.com, original Minnesota sports-inspired goods. Use the code KFAN for 15% off your next order. I will say, Pat, I was concerned going into the series. Now I'm feeling like St. Louis is going to be overconfident.
Well, you know what? Andy put a hard sell on the Blues, didn't he?
He did, and
rightly so. They're an awfully good team.
They're a good team.
They're an awfully good team. I still think at the end of the day, if Minnesota can get their forecheck rolling, and you know, bang, and you know everything that they need to do, I think the Blues D is exposable. I really do. So I think it's going to come down to the 5-on-5 play, and he
mentioned staying out of the box is going to be huge for the Minnesota Wild.
Exactly. Because that power play of the Blues and both of them are, awfully, awfully good. And, you know, the struggles with, the PK here, let's not sugarcoat it. It's not been great. So, I think that's going to be real, real important in the series.
All right. A couple of Gopher hockey related topics with you, Pat. Garrett Reboyne, who is the assistant coach for the Golden Gophers, named as the first head coach for the new Augustana men's hockey team, which will be Division One in the 2023-2024 season. I'm assuming you believe that was a good hire.
Yeah, very temperamental guy. You know, even keeled, knows it's going to take some time. It's a different scenario than the St. Thomas job in terms of, you know, I mean, Rico Blasi had guys coming back, didn't have to recruit all 26 guys. That's something that's going to be new with Garrett. But you know, they have the backing of the administration. They're building a new arena, all of those things that you'll need. But I'm happy for Garrett, because he's done a really good job with Minnesota and St. Cloud prior to that.
And Chaz Lucius going to the National Hockey League after just 1 year with the Golden Gophers. He was a first-round pick of Winnipeg last year, plays 1 year for Minnesota, you know, had some health issues, and he had some health issues when he was getting drafted, before he got drafted, which might have led to him dropping a little bit. Overall, your thoughts on Lucius's one season with the Gophers, and is it in his best interest to be leaving after 1 year?
No, not at all. I don't know who's advising him, but he's not ready. You know, listen, he's got all the tools and all of that, but maturity wise and growth wise and being the best player at where you are before you go to another level, I don't think it was the best move for him long term. Now, there has been some rumor that he'll sign the contract and then go play in the Canadian Junior League, which I think would be that would ease my thought process on his decision, because he's not ready for pro hockey yet. So wish him the best. Hope he does well. Hope he makes it, because he's got off the chart skills. There's no question about it. But I don't think it was the best move for him right now.
All right, we're back to finishing every Beyond the Pod with Stick Taps. We've brought it back. I always feel like when I bring this up to you that you haven't thought about it by the time I bring it up.
Yeah, but I think about it and then I forget that we're doing it, but I'll let you start out again. That's fine.
I can start off. I'm going to start off with Austin Matthews, forward for the Toronto Maple Leafs. He became the first United States-born player ever to score 60 goals in a season in the National Hockey League. I was looking at the list, and obviously there's some big names up there. Brett Hull is kind of associated as being American, but was technically born in Canada. So
yes, he was.
Auston Matthews is the first one born in the United States to hit that 60-goal mark, and I believe it hadn't been done in a decade. 10 years ago was the last time it had happened in the league. So quite the season for Auston Matthews, but of course in Toronto you need to do it come playoff time.
Okay, I'm gonna stick to I'm gonna bring it to college hockey again. Last week I had the Minnesota State Mavericks and Mike Hastings and what they did all year. This one, Brandon, because we want to continue to grow the game, Alabama Huntsville has announced that they are trying to get back to revive their 1 year off from Division I hockey, and they've worked so hard. They've raised a lot of money, but they're not getting any love from any of the leagues, and I don't like that at all. So I'm all on the Alabama Huntsville bandwagon, and we have one of our own who may be the starting goaltender game one, who played his collegiate hockey there, and Cam Talbot. So nice. For Cam, and because I know he's given some money to the program and to Alabama Huntsville, let's go.
All right, Pat, great job as always. Our last time for this year doing a Beyond the Pod during the regular season.
Yes.
Next time I talk to you, it'll be playoff hockey time.
I am pumped.
And hopefully a longer playoff hockey time than we're accustomed to.
Yeah, let's go all the way to June, whatever. So.
All right. Thanks, Pat. Thanks, Brandon. Appreciate it. All right, he's Pat Micheletti. I'm Brandon Molesky. This has been another episode of Beyond the Pod, as always, brought to you by SodaStick.com. Use the code KFAN for 15% off. We'll talk to you next week right here on Beyond the Pod. Bye.